You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for Kenosha Public Library, who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also...
Community Matters, I'm Jenny Tunkies, and it's June, and that means it's Pride Month, so happy Pride Month, everyone. And I'm really pleased today to have as my guest Barb Farrar, who's the
Okay, now I've got you back, but I just lost you for the entire introduction.
Yes, I don't know what happened there. We're going to start this over. It's 12:06. Just 1 second. I don't know what happened. That's technology for you. Johnson, welcome, Barb.
Thanks, Jenny. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. So tell us a little bit about the LGBT Center of Southeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for a happy Pride Month to you and to just meet people. And over the years, we have really evolved into more of an advocacy organization almost on a weekly basis. We have Safe Zone training. And so we go into schools, municipalities, private industry, churches, and do kind of a deep dive on sexual orientation, gender identity. We have two new and Black grateful to have that program.
Wonderful. Now, do you serve Racine and Kenosha counties or primarily Racine? How does that work?
Yeah, so our physical location is in Racine. Most of our programs have a virtual component, so we have people from all over the state and even out of state, Illinois, Michigan, Iowa, people attend our support groups virtually. We are in the process of that there is prioritization. The work that we've done with the mayor's office, in particular, Vicky Selko, who's in charge of, but I noticed that has fallen off. There's also non-discrimination laws for employment and public accommodations that are primarily around gender identity. What a lot of people don't know is that the state of Wisconsin was the very first state in the country in 1982 to create a statewide law that protects anybody for sexual orientation. So that's bi, gay, lesbians. But what is missing in the state is any type of protections for gender identity and gender expression. One of the big concepts for the MEI score is to make sure that transgender and non-binary individuals are protected. Say is that the city has gone through the steps to make sure that it's intentional and that it prioritizes the protections of LGBT people. But all average LGBT person knows about, and we take it seriously. And so the fact that it hasn't moved, I think
is there a budgetary issue to this for either community? You mentioned a liaison to the police department. Is there a cost? Is maybe that part of the factor?
That's a really good question. Not having worked in a municipality, I think it's basically time, staff time to do, which does have a cost to it. And by prioritizing
about the Municipal Equity Index, which is an annual review by the Human Rights Campaign, and the city of Racine has a score of 100, perfect, and Kenosha 51, so lots of work there to be done. If some
efficient way to kind of move the needle, so to speak, and you know, any type of letter to the mayor's office or email, phone call, I think that also has weight as well. And public awareness of what's at stake in this score. So just for comparison, you mentioned that Racine has 100, say that, but those are the kind of things that we just didn't hear. And there's kind of a perception that parents know best in all situations, up until the young person is 18 and then they can make their own decision. We know that challenging. If you identify as the gender that doesn't align with your sex assigned at birth. And so there's tools that doctors have that can make this journey a lot easier. And of course, we're always a proponent of having a gender affirming therapist work with a young person. For it, we have Greta Neubauer, we have Bob Wirch. I mean, we've got some really stellar representatives. We also have, just a little bit north of somebody who's close to you and how these laws are impacting them or your family. The demographic that is going to change the world. As the young folks who are more open-minded get older and start voting, and they vote, you know, that generation really does vote. So I think it may take some time, but I think that's going to be the push that happens. And
we heard during the Roe v. Wade overturning that some, at least one Supreme U.S. Supreme Court justice was intending to target gay marriage. Anything more about that? Is that a concern?
I think that's critical.
Nationwide, are there other issues that are coming to the forefront that you have concern about?
I think it really comes down to equality, making sure that people can't. I mean, even in Wisconsin, if you hire somebody, you can fire them without cause because of their gender identity or gender expression. I don't think people really realize that. It's real. So even though we have protections, at a difference, there's a discretion. There's discretion there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I think that's a really important point, because then that kind of feeds back into the municipal equity index that we talked about earlier. So if you've got a city that's making it a priority to have equity, provide equity, then that's going to carry over.
What should I do with my dog? Should I put him outside?
Yeah, let's, I'll try to pause this.
Stopped. This meeting is being recorded.
I'm Jenny Tunkies. You're listening to, we had mentioned that this is June, and that makes it Pride Month. So tell me a little bit.
It really is a holiday. For a lot of people. It is political, but it's social. It's liberating. It is a time to see people who look like you, who have similar experiences, and to just unite and just have a great time. Has had pride. To be honest, I'm not sure if that's happening this year or not. Racine, we typically have an event that's more low-key. We will be posting that once it's finalized on our website, which is www. At all kinds of groups. We had a spirituality group, our elder group, and our youth groups really thrive during that time period. And now we're seeing people just wanting to get together. And, you know, support groups are wonderful. We do a lot of one-on-one in Kenosha soon. So
to seniors, tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. That's our 50-plus group that meets every other Saturday from 1 to 2:30. And that is a group of people. It's a social group. It's not really a support group, but they just love hanging out. They will talk about vacations. They'll talk about family. They'll talk about their coming out experiences, just kind of reflections on what it was like to be a young person in the 50s, 60s, and 70s coming out. It's a wonderful group. There's about between 12 and 15 people that attend that as well.
Okay. Now, you mentioned art nights for young people. Do you have
Colorful and Connected program? We've got a weekly social that happens at Pepe's, and that group meets every Sunday at 11 o'clock. And that's exclusively for people. We do what's called a Friendsgiving, which is like a Thanksgiving, but for friends. And yeah, we keep busy.
Great. Now, you had mentioned that that interest kind of exploded during the pandemic. What brought that on, do you think? Was that just part and parcel of people being alone and needing to reach out? What was there?
I think that's exactly it. People being homebound. We also saw the emergence of technology. I mean, Zoom literally changed the world. And we had people say that our support groups were really one of the most important ways that they could live. What does it mean to be a human? Where are we headed? What does our society look like? What are some of the beliefs that we hold as true? Where can we grow as individuals and as humans? So it was really impactful.
Wonderful. Now, I know another way that you provide some outreach is you have, I don't know if it comes out every month, but a newsletter that's fairly frequent. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. Our newsletter is called To Be Perfectly Queer, which is kind of a play on words there. And we use that word queer intentionally to take back a word that has been used to hurt
their allies.
Yeah, so there's a lot of conversation around whether allies is the best word. And that's funny because if you look at the true definition of being an ally, it means it's a verb. It means to take action. But sometimes people call themselves an ally without being taking action. So we want to kind of ratchet that up a little bit to an advocate. An advocate is somebody who is always on the lookout to support, their friends who are people of color, or themselves and LGBTQ people. We just want to make it more routine that we fight for marginalized communities. And so what can you do? Well, first of all, you can speak up at the Thanksgiving table, right? You can start to introduce concepts or people or stories of people that you know so that it becomes more familiar. You can invite us to do a safe zone training at your church or your business. If people need kind of that baseline education about what the experience is actually like, that's what that training is for. You can also write letters, but mainly it's in your social circles. If somebody says something derogatory, don't just stand by. That's not the verb. We need an action. So advocate for your friends and family who are part of the community. And yourself, if you're part of the community. So.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Again, Barb Farrar, Executive Director of the LGBTQ Center of Southeastern Wisconsin. Thank you so much for being here today and talking to us about June being Pride Month, about the Municipal Equity Index, and all the great work you're doing. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at wgtd.org. Click shows. This is